أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أرواحنا له فداء أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون صدق الله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Yesterday we read verse 186 of Surah Al-Baqarah, as it is part of the verses wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is speaking about the blessings, the ni'mah, the benefit, and even the rules of fasting. Verse 186, as we mentioned yesterday, and actually after yesterday's speech, instead of moving to the next verse, I decided to linger on this verse for a bit, maybe today and inshallah, perhaps tomorrow. One, because this verse, it speaks about, or it reaches to the heart of Ramadan. And that is making dua, connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if, I think every year that we enter into this blessed month of Ramadan, one of the first things that we think about, Ramadan has come, it's going to be a Laylatul Qadr. It's going to be a night in which we should sit, we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our forgiveness. And I don't know about you, but I think that this is kind of a general consensus. A lot of people I spoke to, and this is the thing, they look forward to Laylatul Qadr. They look forward to that night in which they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if they're not up all night, but at least a part of that night, they look forward to it because they know that, okay, this is the night in which the Qur'an was revealed in its entirety to Rasulullah. This is a night in which our destiny will be determined, that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will bless us with. It is a night in which we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs. And one of the occasions that we have been taught by the Prophet and Imam said, on that night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He answers the du'as of the believer. So we wait for the night. So I thought I would linger a little bit more on this particular verse, so that we can prepare ourselves for Laylatul Qadr, which will be upon us in just a few days. That how should we move forth in that night, and how should we prepare ourselves for the dua? How should we prepare ourselves to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Another thing which came to mind that I should also speak more about this is because immediately after this topic yesterday, there was a very interesting discussion that we had around dinner, and it was about supplication, about dua, about something that happens maybe to all of us at times, or maybe to some of us, that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something that we don't see the results of that dua. That we made dua for this, we made dua for that, and where's the answer? That was one thing. I thought, yes, I should definitely speak more about this verse. The third thing that was kind of interesting. I guess it maybe sealed the the thought or the idea that, yes, I should speak about this topic, is last night when we are also reciting the Quran as we do every night. And inshallah, more people should participate. And if you don't want to recite, come listen to the Quran. Recite it in English. Read some of the Quran. Participate in this blessing, this ni'mah. So that third thing which was sealed it is that as we began reading the Jews that we read last night, part of it was in Surah Al-Anbiya. And then so there was a part where Noah, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى مِنْ قَبْلُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ مِنْ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ. This verse came, it says that Noah, he called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we gave him salvation, and we gave his family salvation from a great calamity. Then it goes on, and it talks about Ayyub, Prophet Ayyub, that he called his Lord, and again, it says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَا. And we answered the call of Ayyub. Zachariah also called, and we answered the call of Zachariah, and we gave him Yahya. So as I saw this, I said, yes, definitely, I must, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, I must speak on this topic, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in verse 186, he says that, Ujibu da'wati da'i idha da'an. That I answer the call of that individual, of that servant who calls upon me. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's showing exact proof that, look, Noah, he called upon me. I answered. The Prophet Ayyub, he called upon me. I answered. Zachariah, he called upon me. I answered. So what is it that causes our dua not to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As I said, we did a brief discussion on this after the salat, so I want to expound upon that, and at least those who were not a part of that conversation, at least you understand some of what that conversation is, or what it was. That when we look at dua, when we think of this idea of dua, and we're sitting and we're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many dynamics that we must think about with regards to the dua, with regards to calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One dynamic is the supplication itself. That what is being said? What are the words that are being used to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why? Because it has its own effect. If we look at Sahifatul Sajjadiyya, just open Sahifatul Sajjadiyya. Open Mafatihul Janan. Open Misbahu Ka'afimi, or in our technology age, go to www.duaz.com, duaz.org, actually. It's full of du'as from Ahlul Bayt. Not only do you have Sahifatu Sajjadiyya, you'll find Sahifatu Alawiyya, Sahifatu Fatimiyya, Sahifatu Mahdawiyya, Sahifatu Kadhimiyya. And these are du'as that are coming from our imams, alayhim afsalam. Then you find the normal, the other du'as that are often recited, the du'as for beginning of the month, du'a kamil, du'a mashlul, du'a nutba. You find all kinds of du'as. And then also in this website, which again is taking from these books, these source books, Misbah Ka'afimi from Mufatul Janan, you'll find a section about du'as for cure and for ailments. If someone is sick with a particular ailment, here's a du'a that the imam is recommended to recite. So first of all, one part of the dynamic of our du'as and our supplication is to understand what we are reciting. What is the value of that dua? What is the, or again, you can say the formula of that dua, because each dua has its formula. If one has a headache, They don't recite the dua that cures stomach ache. You recite the dua that cures the headache. If a dua, and again, within the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam, and we should do this, if, you know, the dua.org, luckily, most of it is translated in English. Sometimes they'll have a dua that they just place there, which is only in Arabic, but be assured that the English is coming afterwards. But one good thing that we should do, that, yes, we're looking for a dua for a particular reason. In Mafatihul Janan, and also on dua.org, you'll see that before that dua comes, there's a brief history about that dua. Or maybe there's some recommendations for that dua. And those recommendations come from the imams, come from the prophet. It shouldn't be that, oh, well, we see, okay, well, it says a dua, recite this dua for this reason, and immediately we dive into the dua. No, first go and see, what is this dua? What are the properties of this dua? Why exactly did the imam say to recite this dua? What is the benefit of reciting that dua? Are there any special requirements that I need to do before reciting this dua? And you'll find that some of the du'as, they say, okay, well, before you recite this du'a, be in tahara, be in ablution. And yes, general ablution, yes, you can make wudu, or you can make the ghusl to be in ablution. Some of the du'as and ziyarat, specifically they say, go and make ghusl. So in that case, and sometimes I see this and I've heard this. Yes, it's not bad. You can still make wudu. You're in wudu and recite this ziyara, recite this particular dua. But the etiquette that has been described is make a ghusl. So why is it that is a problem that we go and make a ghusl? Make your wudu. Go make your ghusl with the intentions of preparing yourself for that dua, preparing yourself for that ziyara. Yes, this is also one of the prerequisites of Laylatul Qadr. Say, Laylatul Qadr, what is recommended is that you take a ghusl for Laylatul Qadr to prepare yourself. This is not to say that you can't just simply have wudu. Yes, you can simply have wudu, but there's a certain etiquette about it that the Prophet and Imams are outlining that's here. Of course, because the ghusl takes more preparation. The ghusl is covering the whole of your body. Wudu, you're washing and making a symbolic purification only for parts of your body. But the ghusl is a symbolic purification for your entire being, your entire self. So that is the spiritual prerequisite. It may not be a, you could say, quote-unquote, legal prerequisite, because simply having tahara is fine. But before we engage in that dua, what is the property? What are the etiquettes of that dua? What is the etiquettes of that particular night? That particular supplication we want to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. And by observing those things, then these are things that will help our dua to be answered. It will help also to put us in the proper state so that we can make our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, also understanding exactly what is this dua for. If a dua says it's for one thing, but, oh, well, I like the dua, I'm going to recite it for this. This is not to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he won't accept the dua. MashaAllah, you know, you're calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, "Udu'uni astajib lakum." Call upon me and I will answer. Udhkuruni adhkurkum. Remember me, I will remember you. So yes, in general, you're calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so whatever dua that you recite is good. In fact, as Imam Bakr alayhi afdhalus salatu wassalam, he stated that with dua, And they say, with any dua, la yahlukul insan, that you could recite any dua, will not have a negative effect on you. You're calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not going to be to your detriment. But there's an etiquette to certain du'as. There's a prerequisite to certain supplications and ziyarat. And by observing those things, you're preparing yourself as the imam, as the prophet, have required you to. Prepare yourself for this du'a in this way, in this manner. And then make that du'a. And then make the appropriate du'a for what you're trying to obtain. And follow the steps, the guidelines that they have given. In fact, one of my teachers, Sheikh Ramadhani, may Allah give him a long life, is a student of Ayatollah Hassan Zada Amali. And one day in class, he was telling us this, that, of course, Ayatollah Hassan Zada Amali, he's also one of the great scholars, saints, many also karamat that he's performed. But Sheikh Ramadhani, one of his, I think it was his daughter who fell ill. She became really ill. And he knew, as many people knew, that Ayatollah Hassan Zada Amali, he is very skilled in prescribing the right dua or the right corrected writings or sayings of the Ahlul Bayt so that that one can cure ailments. So Sheikh Ramadhani went to his teacher, Ayatollah Hassan Zada Amali. He says, you know, my daughter, she's ill. Even, you know, doctors said they don't know what to do with her. So he asks Ayatollah Hassan Zada Amali, he says, you know, give me something that I can help her. So Ayatollah Hassan Zada Amali, he gave him something. He says, write this. He says, and then on a paper, he gave him a specific type of paper. Don't just buy it. He says, get this, write this. He says, and you put it in the water, and then you recite something, and you take it out, and you have her to drink it. So Sheikh Ramadhani says, I did everything, and I put it in the water. I gave my daughter this water to drink. He says, and the next day, he says, my daughter, her state was worse. He said that, you know, what happened? I did everything that I was supposed to do. He said, I went back to Ayatollah Hassan Zada Amali. He says, look, I did everything you said. Now her state is worse. He said, my teacher, he says, did you do everything I said, exactly how I said, or did you miss something? He said, I did everything I said. So then Ayatollah Hassan Zada Amali, he says, what did you do? You explained to me exactly what I told you. And I'll see if you've done everything. So he said, yeah, he wrote in, blah, 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 blah. So Ayatollah Hassan Zada Amali, he says, well, okay, well, apparently you've done everything that I told you. He says, what did you write with? He says, I had a pen. Yeah, he took a one of the calligraphy pens, but with the tip on it. He says, ah. He says, was the pen a still point or was it wood? He said it was still. He says, that was the problem. He says, because of the property of the still, the dua that you wrote, he says, it contradicts. He says, the properties are not aligned. He says, go back. He says, you can do exactly what I told you again. He says, but you write it with either wood or with a feather, something that is natural, not something that is hard, like still. So Sheikh Ramadhani, he said, I went back. He said, I took a wooden calligraphy pen. I wrote the exact same thing. Of course, he's writing, the ink is not really ink, it's zafaran, because he wrote it also with zafaran the first time, but it was a still point. Ayatollah Hassan Zada Amali says, the still point, he says, it counters the effect of that. So he wrote it with wood. He did the exact same thing. He said he gave his daughter the water to drink. This is the next day. She was much better. And eventually in 2 days, she was cured. So when Ahlul Bayt, they are giving a prerequisite to dua, to supplication. We should follow those supplications. And of course, Ayatul Hassan, I don't know what he's coming from. He brings this knowledge from Ahlul Bayt, alayhim afsalatu wasalam. And part of that, what he's, you know, what he spoke about there is in one of his books. Very excellent book if you can read Farsi. Unfortunately, it's not in English at the moment, but hopefully it would be. Maybe translated into Arabic. It's called Nurun ala Nur, Light upon Light. And he, in that book, he discusses about dua and supplications. And this is one of the things. You must follow the guidelines that the Ahlul Bayt, they lay down for those supplications, if you want the effect of those supplications. The guidelines of Tahara, the guidelines of facing Qibla. Even at times, the guidelines of timing. Sometimes I've seen this, oh well, there's a time that you recite the dua, and I've been asked this many times, well, you were supposed to recite this dua at this time, can we recite it at another time? Yes, you can recite it at another time, but don't expect to have the same effect. You may, but maybe not. Why? Because there's specific timing that has been given for that dua, for that supplication. Specific reason for each supplication. If you see that how the imams say, the Prophet and the imams say, explain about dua. Say some dua is, that dua is you know, it takes you out of bala. It removes calamities. Some dua, they are for curing ailments. Some dua are for protection. Some dua is for forgiveness. Some dua, they will encompass many of these things, more than one thing. One of those du'as that, inshallah, again, I recommend that everyone recites, and inshallah, we should come together and recite, is du'a kamel. And if you read du'a kamel, and you see that there's many parts in it, you start with forgiveness, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive your shortcomings, forgive your sins, then you move into a section where you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gain closest to Him, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, you know, for cure. Ya man ismuhu dawa wa dhikruhu shifa. That His names are a cure. His names are medicine. It's like medicine. And remembering Him is gaining shifa, gaining cure. Du'a Kamel also, it encompasses that if you are being oppressed, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَرَادَنِي بِسُوءٍ فَأَرِدْ وَمَنْ كَادَنِي فَكِدْ. Whoever intends to do me harm and wrong, then Allah, yes, you protect me and you reflect that harm and wrong back on them. Don't allow me to be under that harm that one intends me. So one part of the dua and supplication when we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says, وَجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي, is to understand that what are we saying? How are we calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What exactly are we using to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it the appropriate dua for what I'm interested in? Have I observed the prerequisites of that dua so that dua can be answered? All of these things, they have effect. If it is a dua, is it a dua that's specific? Because some duas, they're very general. You can see that the duas is very general. And at times, they can be general, and they say, okay, ask for your needs. So am I asking for something specific? Or am I just saying, okay, well, Allah, that, whatever. Whatever you give me, you give me. It has a different effect. That how exactly we ask dua. And in some cases, as it is recommended by the imams, is to ask specifically for what you want. So it depends on what that dua is. Inshallah, we'll discuss the other elements of dua and making supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the coming nights. Inshallah, since there's only about maybe 1 minute left now, I just want to, in the end, just to remind everyone that inshallah, this is the month of Ramadan, and in this month we should be definitely more diligent about participating in the activities, the salat, the du'as, the recitation of Quran, the also majalis. You know, we have some individuals who do not have this wealth of knowledge that we have from Ahlul Bayt, alayhim afsalatu wasalam. Not even 1/3 of what we have from Ahlul Bayt, but even with that 1/3 that they have, they're diligent about getting it. And we have so much knowledge from Ahlul Bayt, so many du'as from Ahlul Bayt. But when it comes to gaining this knowledge and gaining from Ahlul Bayt, quite often at times we're just very nonchalant. We should be more enthusiastic about learning from Ahlul Bayt, more enthusiastic about learning how to gain closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having our du'as answered, reciting Quran, understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He wants from us in the Quran. Responding back to that communication from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us in the Quran through du'a. Because that's the communication. He speaks to us with revelation, we speak through Him through du'a. So we should take this month and the events in this month actually more serious. And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgive our shortcomings, cover our shortcomings, forgive our sins, have mercy upon our deceased, cure our ill ones, and hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman and make us among His helpers, His companions, and those who sacrifice their lives for Him.